Hello, and welcome to the Anti-Fragile Tarot Podcast. This is your resident card slinger, Susanna. And this episode's focus is going to be on imposter syndrome. Some of us maybe, or some of you may be familiar with the term outside of magical circles, particularly women or other kinds of minorities are prone to this, where we devalue our own knowledge and experience and feel as if we don't actually have the clout that we have. Maybe that's partly because we see other people who are similar not getting their due. Maybe it's because we've been specifically told that we don't know what we're talking about or condescended to, or it's been assumed that we don't know. This is also a very common thing in academic circles, but imposter syndrome in occult and witchy circles, particularly with divination or tarot, is a huge issue. I don't want to say it's a problem necessarily. I mean, it is a problem, but for many of us, I think it's just a reality of the kind of work that we're doing. Especially for those of us who don't make any hard and fast promises about what we're doing, whether that's because we're new, whether that's because we don't necessarily view what we're doing as strict divination, strict fortune telling, and it's something to consider in how we are presenting ourselves. And the problems that may arise if we are not confident in what we are doing. So, you know, I've talked about issues related to this in previous podcasts. And if you're a brand new listener, don't worry. This is not a serial podcast. Things will come up and go back and forth. So don't feel like you're missing out. But, you know, they're all there for you if you wish to. I mentioned before that you should not start reading professionally for others until you have that level of confidence under your belt in at least what the cards mean. Don't feel as if you still need to consult resources. Part of that is because you don't want to sell something that you are not prepared to really give, but that's also for your own confidence. Something in The Magician that I always notice in tarot. Yes, there's this sense of having your resources available to you. Yes, there's this sense of putting on a performance, but being performative does not necessarily mean that you have a handle on what's happening. And sometimes you just have to fake it till you make it. It's a phrase that comes up for me a lot with The Magician, in fact. And I think a lot of us, when we're acting in that magician role, whether we are performing a ritual, whether we are conducting a tarot reading, whether we are otherwise providing some kind of spiritual guidance or counseling or product, I think a lot of us do deal with imposter syndrome to some level. Obviously, there's the other side of the spectrum are people who picked up a tarot deck a week ago and are suddenly charging a lot, or who say that they don't need to know the history of it. They're just a purely intuitive reader. Sometimes that kind of confidence might be detrimental to their goals or not. I do leave room for people who are other than me and my approach to things, where I like to have a lot of research and knowledge under my belt before I even start talking about something. My mom always told me that I didn't talk to the point where doctors were worried that I had some developmental delays or there was something actually wrong with me, and my parents realized that I was sitting there talking to my stuffed animals and the baby monitor away from everyone else to kind of practice before I, came out and talked to everyone else about it. So that's kind of my approach. I like to have that base of knowledge. But what happens when you have that base of knowledge? What happens when you're someone who's been reading for 15 years and have spent a lot of time researching and working with the cards and working with clients. And again, you know, if you're not a tarot card reader yourself, you can apply this to whatever area of expertise you do have. If you do Reiki, if you have another practice that you are trained in and inducted in and work within, you know, you have all this practice, but when you're out there, you feel like you don't know anything. So how do we deal with that? And why do so many practitioners still feel that way? And how come some people feel so confident with nothing to back them up? There's a lot of factors at play. I don't think it is insignificant that many people practice witchcraft or other occult practices because of a lack of power or outward power or control in their lives. Many of us turn to this as a way to gain some power over an otherwise difficult to control life or situation. So there's that. A lot of practitioners are racial, ethnic, sexual, gender minorities. So there's that. There's that sense of not being taken seriously for whatever reason because we are not part of the dominant power structure. And all the messages that come with that. There's other intersections of this where you may be poor or otherwise at a disadvantage for access to a community or access to supplies and feeling as if that the work that you do is insignificant because you aren't using all of the fancy ritualistic things that you have seen advertised. So there's a lot of factors at play as to why some of us might feel so quick to downplay our own experiences, quick to downplay our own expertise in whatever that is. And again, I do want to caution against being overly confident. It's not my intention to speak ill of anyone, but something to consider is that you don't want to falsely advertise. You don't want to miscommunicate your own perspective. Something that I think is really valuable about the magical community as a whole, which, you know, it's so diverse, it's hard to say there is any cohesive magical community, but whatever umbrella that we fall under that may make a more structured practitioner be listening to this podcast right now, that the one thing that kind of does bind us together is or make our community that we're under a little bit more interesting and useful is that we do all have different frames of reference. We all have different perspectives, and what's helpful is for us to find people whose perspectives align with ours. And it's not a detriment if your experiences, if your perspective don't match up with anything that you are finding. You know, it's usually a good thing if you are offering something that other people aren't. Of course, you should definitely make sure that you have a caveat that this is what we call a personal gnosis or an unverified personal gnosis. You may find the term UPG on the internet. I first encountered that on, I think, the Pagan subreddit. And you know, it's important to be able to say, well, this is my personal gnosis, this is my personal experience, but I've had this backed up by blah, 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 blah. Whether that's backed up by research into your particular culture, your particular geography's features, whether that is backed up by other people who experienced it with you in the room. You know, it's what you... The difference here is you're not presenting your experiences as invalid just because they don't line up with something, but you do want to take care that you aren't saying, oh, well, my experiences actually are this, even though this other belief system has nothing to do with what I just experienced. You don't want to make your experiences fit a mold, per se, and you don't want to claim that they do if they don't. Instead, you need to acknowledge what is there, what made sense, what didn't, what is verifiable. And, you know, that's another big issue with this subject. How much of what we do is truly, honestly, objectively verifiable? Who among us can pass that million-dollar test of who can speak to the dead? Who can move an object across the room with just their mind? None of us can, and that lack of objectivity can really trip some of us up, especially those of us who are pretty scientifically minded, those of us who do value some kind of methodology to seeing what works and what doesn't. This is part of why it's also important to try to keep some kind of record of your workings and their results and what did work and what didn't work. I am not the best at doing this myself for a variety of reasons. Time, effort, the fact that I don't do a ton of formal ritual these days. But, you know, something to note, I do participate in online communities where I talk about my experiences. I have this here podcast where you amazing listeners sometimes remind me of things that I've said, and I can kind of check back with that. And I have, you know, I have some mental notes of what I do and don't do, especially for things I do frequently. So, you know, one thing that I personally work with, I work with the 40 Servants quite a bit. I have a podcast episode on them. It's episode number 23, and I know this because of Eris Fnord, all hail. The number 5 is a chaos magic thing. And 23, 2 plus 3 is 5. That's, you know, law of fives. I go over chaos magic in another episode. That one I don't have the number on right now. So, yeah, that's stuff you can look up on your own, but you can look up Discordianism if that piqued your interest, or Law of Fives. But something I do a lot with the 40 Servants, I have a few servants that I work with. I use them for school in particular. I appeal to the servants to help me pass tests. And normally I go in and I say what I want on that test, and it works. And I think the last test, I kept saying, I want an 80, I want an 80, I want an 80. I want at least an 80 because 80 is minimum passing. And I actually got a flat 80 on that test, but it did bring my grade point average down a bit. So going into this test, I said, I want an 82. I focus on that number. And I did everything else that I normally do with the servants. I picked the 6 that I was working with. I drew their little sigils on my wrists because I couldn't have the physical cards on me when I was testing. I still brought them into the room with me. I carried them around with me throughout the rest of the day. And they're servants that I'd worked with for the rest of the semester, like the previous parts. And do you know what happened? I tanked this test spectacularly. I got the lowest grade that I have gotten on any of my tests in this entire program. One of the lowest test scores I have gotten in my life, because I'm generally a good student. But you know what? You know where that 82 manifested itself? It manifested itself in my current average for the course. I am now sitting at an 82. So it's interesting when you can set those parameters and see what happens. So that's one way that you can start to kind of beat your imposter syndrome with, well, does this work? You need to set these achievable, quantifiable goals. And, you know, again, quantifiable, and this is something that I mention a lot when I'm working with pentacles in tarot, quantifiable isn't necessarily numerologically quantifiable. Sometimes it's a slightly less tangible result, but it's still something that you can track. You know, we do this with weight. You know, I work on my health. I'm somewhat athletic. I care about my weight and my size and blah, blah, blah. And something that we talk about a lot in those communities is not so much focusing on the number on the scale, but also focusing on taking your measurements. So you want to have a couple of different ways that you can measure your success. So to say whether a spell worked, first of all, did you get your desired outcome, yes or no? Did you get an outcome that you said something about but didn't wasn't technically your desired outcome, like what I just expressed. So that's another way to look at that. When doing a reading also, when you're doing a reading and something, you see something in the cards, and this is actually why I'm doing this episode, because my patron Amy, we were in my Discord on my Patreon. I have this as one of the perks of my Patreon. You have a Discord chat where you can chat with me whenever. I'm not always the best about immediately replying, but if you ask me a direct question, I will definitely get back to you. And you can do that via email as well. I will get back to you. I'm there. I'm in school, so it's not necessarily as soon as you do it, but I promise I will get back to you. We were discussing, and I put up my Lenormand reading, because I'm working with Lenormand this month, for what, like post-test, what would happen. And I put this reading up for interpretation within the chat room, and my patron Amy, you know, gave her interpretation and asked, you know, if it was the ship in the crossroads, and, you know, she asked if this was something that, if there was any kind of leeway for the teachers to grade a test, if it was subjective or if it was objective. And I said, well, it's not really subjective. It's multiple choice, and it's a relatively concrete subject. It's not so much something that you can argue, because it is nursing. You know, occasionally there's questions where we can say, well, the evidence on this is mixed, and here's some sources I have to back that up. But that's relatively rare, and they don't usually have questions that are that vague. And, you know, Amy said, oh, well, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing with interpretations. I'm like, no, that's actually a really solid interpretation of the cards themselves. And that's where she said, oh, maybe an episode about imposter syndrome, because I struggle with that. And I thought that was a wonderful idea. So I did that. And here we are. And that's something to consider. When you're doing a reading and you get a vibe from the cards, again, I am not trying to knock intuitive readers here. However, I do feel that if we are using an established system, it makes sense to actually refer back to that system in the cards. Because if you're just going to go off of pure intuition and psychic ability, why are you bothering with the cards if you cannot connect your impressions back to the imagery and the meaning and the symbolism of the cards? So something to consider there is, when you have this interpretation and you need to justify it, look at what the card means. And if you can connect your feeling about that card back to what the card means, then you're not an imposter, because you're doing what you are setting out to do by being a reader, by being a card reader. Again, for me, that's the biggest thing that separates an intuitive reader from an actual card reader. And of course we're using our intuition. You know, our intuition comes into play with these cards by looking at all the different things that a card can mean and figuring out what it means in the context of this client, what it means in the context of all the other cards. And that's a big thing for me as an online reader who doesn't always get anything to go on with as far as what a client is looking for in their reading. You know, sometimes I don't get anything to go on. Someone just says, I just want to know what the next 6 months have to tell me. I don't know if that means about their career, about their love life. I don't know if they're single. I don't know if they've been in a relationship for 15 years. I don't know if they have kids. I don't know anything. That can be a little bit nerve-wracking, but what I do, instead of saying, well, I don't know what's happening, I let my intuition guide me as to, all right, I have the Two of Swords here. Obviously, it's a decision, but a decision about what? And if the next card is a Cup card, maybe that is about their relationships. However, if the rest of the reading is Pentacles, then they might be having emotional difficulty making a decision about something that is very concrete, very quantifiable or tangible for them. So thinking about how you can justify. Now, I don't want you to sit there and justify everything that you ever do. You should not feel like you have to justify anything. However, if you are starting to feel like you are not doing a good enough job, if you are not meeting your own expectations for what you want to be doing, and you feel like you're an imposter and I don't know what I'm doing, then that's where you might want to sit down with what you're doing, whether that's a moon ritual, you know, and figure out, okay, so let's say you're doing a ritual, right? And you want to see if you feel like you don't know what you're doing with it. Well, break down the elements of what you're doing. Break down why you're doing them. Figure out where you got that from. If you are adapting a ritual from a source, and this goes back to what I said earlier about figuring out how to make do with a ritual that you may not have all of the resources for. I think I've talked about this before, and if I haven't, I should probably do a whole episode on it, but I'm fairly certain I did talk about this. When you're looking at a ritual from a different perspective other than yours, a different magical paradigm, when you're looking at a ritual from, you know, obviously, again, we want to be careful about appropriation and all of that. Just, you know, keep that in mind with when you're working within different paradigms. But assuming that this is an open ritual, it's in a published book, it's something that someone has specifically told you to do. Look at the elements of the spell and figure out what you can substitute and what you can't substitute. And, you know, I know that seems like, oh, well, you need to have all this knowledge for it. No, you don't. You can look at it and figure out, okay, well, this is done during the full moon. Why is it done during the full moon? What's powerful about the full moon that it needs to be done on the full moon? Is it a spell to let go of something? In which case, that's good. You know, that's why it's done on a full moon, because the moon is waning. And again, that's something that varies from tradition to tradition. So this is all hypothetical here. I'm not saying anything in particular. But you know, this is an example. Now, if it needs to be water that was collected during a full moon, maybe you don't have water that you collected during a full moon because it didn't rain on the full moon where you are, or you get no rain in your area. Can you get some other kind of water? You may not want to get just regular tap water. You may want to purify your water or get distilled water and then maybe set that out to charge in moonlight. That's where you want to think about it. You know, there's a funny post going around like, oh, you know, you need full moon water collected in a silver bowl. You know, well, you're going to get tap water blessed during the Sailor Moon theme song. I thought it was really funny. I also thought it's an example of what not to do, because depending on the ritual, Sailor Moon, despite being moon, might not be the right thing for that ritual. But if it is a protection ritual or it is a ritual for justice, then blessing it with Sailor Moon theme song is actually a brilliant idea. Although I would probably still purify the water, unless you happen to get water from the place where that you needed to purify, in which case I kind of think that's cool. Anyway, this is all kind of just saying that when you can look at what you're doing in your practice and why you're doing it, I think that's going to help you not be so unsure of what you're doing. It's going to make you feel like less of an imposter. The other suggestion that I have to make is to do it more. Do it more and potentially talk about it less. Especially talk about it less in more public circles. So talking about it with non-witchy people, especially people who really don't get it. Like, I have friends who don't practice themselves but are interested. I have friends who have absolutely no interest. And I never feel like less of an expert than when I'm talking to my friend who thinks that this is all total nonsense. You know, he just looks at me And I'm just like, I sound crazy. Why am I doing this? Why do I have a whole podcast about it? I'm wasting my time. But, you know, it's not true. I actually do know what I'm talking about. I have a literal lifetime of experience with rituals and seeing what works and what doesn't and developing my own system, listening to other people in their own systems. And in particular with tarot, I have a lot of experience with that personally, and not just intuitive, but studying and working with specific cards. But you know, you also might feel less confident if you're encountering random people on the internet. You don't know their frame of reference. People can say whatever the heck they want to say on the internet, and people often do. So don't go on to, you know, tarot groups on Facebook and freak out when you're starting out and you're charging X amount for readings and someone who has been reading for less time than you is charging so much more. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're better. It just means that they, for whatever reason, have decided to do that. So don't let comparison get to you in that way. And you also may not necessarily want to broadcast what you're doing before you're doing it to your own satisfaction, because that's another thing that might make you feel like more of an imposter. And again, consider whether or not the practices that you're doing are meant to be kept more silent. For all the talk that I do about the work that I do, there's work that I do that I don't talk about, or if I do talk about it, it's well after I've done it. I don't happen to work with very many systems that do require silence, but there are definitely paradigms and practices where certain aspects are supposed to be kept silent. And there's nothing wrong with that. But something to consider is that if the work that you're doing is meant to be silent, talking about it, especially to other people who practice it, who do keep silent about it, they may treat you as lesser. And frankly, other people's opinions of what you're doing don't matter. And yes, if you have someone who's beliefs you respect and trust, and you're asking them for guidance about how you can do better and see more success, that's one thing, especially if they're not likely to be condescending and rude to you about it. But if you know that there's someone in your community who does that, I wouldn't bother talking to them. Why are you going to make yourself feel worse? So yeah, that's about my thoughts on imposter syndrome. You know, it's something we all have to work through. And if you are a woman or female aligning, it's something to doubly work through. You know, and magic, of course, has that double standard, as many things do, including cooking and fashion and art, where so many of the actual people doing it and practicing it are women or otherwise feminine or femaligned. And their contributions are devalued or sneered at because, oh, it's a girl thing. But some of the more respected names in the field are men. You know, consider that Pamela Coleman Smith did the artwork and Lady Frida did the artwork for the two biggest tarot decks that have influenced our legacy of tarot that we work with in the West at this point, or in the entire world. It's not just the West. Looking at people from other countries who use tarot, they're using the exact same systems. But realizing that it's the men who commission them who get most of the credit, despite the fact that that's clearly a joint undertaking, because guess what? If these men could have drawn it, they would have, but they didn't. And it's that imagery that really cements the cards for so many people. And that imagery is what has made tarot the thing that it is today. Whether or not it's the original thing that the Golden Dawn ever envisioned, if there ever was an original system, it's its own thing now because of those images that were created by women. But men are getting the credit. So that kind of treatment definitely trickles down into what I'm going to call amateur. Amateur in the sense of not getting paid, not being a status symbol. You know, you're everyday witches and warlocks, although men can be witches too. That's all a matter of personal preference. And obviously non-binary people can call themselves whatever they like in this practice. Witches, warlocks, brujas, practitioners, bruhexes, whatever. But, you know, something to really think about here is don't devalue yourself just because the world does. If you can find resources to back up your interpretations, to back up your work, you know, let your success be the noise. You don't have to constantly defend it just because you feel like it's under attack. Even if someone is directly attacking you, it's fine. You say, all right, well, that's just your opinion. I'm going to keep doing my work. Again, just differentiating between constructive criticism and attack, but let's assume it's an attack at this point. You know, just let your success be the noise. Let the results of your work speak for themselves. And that is what ultimately will weed out the people who know what they're doing and the people who don't. So, thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. I have an event today, actually, but if you're listening to this, it's probably already passed. So, womp womp. It's at Liberty Science Center. The third Thursday of every month, there's Liberty Science Center After Dark in Jersey City. If you would like to book a reading with me in person, my storefront is undergoing some changes right now, so it may or may not be set up, but I can usually still book in person. So if you want to book in person in Jersey City, let me know. You can email me at antifragiletarot@gmail.com. You can always order off of my Etsy, which is also Antifragile Tarot, one word on Etsy. I'm Antifragile Tarot on Instagram, Antifragile Tarot on Tumblr. I'm Antifragile Card on Twitter, although I'm still not the best about using Twitter. And I'm Antifragile Tarot on Facebook as well, which is fun. My business partner, Brittany, just got me the Mystic Mondays deck, so it looks like I'll be doing a Monday morning read for the foreseeable future with that deck. So I think that's going to be super fun, so you can always check in on my Instagram or my Facebook for that Monday morning read. And finally, if you like this podcast and can afford to, I have a Patreon. $1 a month gets you access to the Discord channel that I mentioned. If you don't know what Discord is, it's a free app where you can chat. It's basically a glorified chat room app, but it's really cool. So, you know, if $1 a month gets you access to that and to whatever patron-only posts I make, I'm starting to do a monthly video. I'm still working out the kinks with that. I posted the video that you may or may not be able to hear, so I'm going to see if I have a friend who might be able to tweak the audio on that to make that louder, but I'm working on getting a camera. I'm also working on getting my podcast episodes transcribed. I would really like this to be more accessible for the deaf and hard of hearing or for people who have other auditory processing issues. I am paying a friend to transcribe them right now who has transcription experience, but if you have transcription experience and would like to barter, you know, one episode for a reading, one of my bigger readings, obviously, or even a couple of readings, please email me, let me know, and I would love to work that out with you because I'd really like to make this a more accessible podcast. $5 a month gets you a reading over email, whether that's a PDF or a video, every month. And I have tiers from 5, 10, and 20 for readings monthly on my Patreon. And even if you can't afford to chip in at all, even if you can't afford to get a reading from me, even if you can't transcribe an episode as a barter, you know, I love hearing from people who listen. It really makes my day. So if you want to send me a message on Instagram or Facebook or email me at antifragiletarot@gmail.com, just let me know that you listen. It means the world to me, even if you can't financially support, and I totally understand because I can't financially support all the things that I want to either. So thank you again for listening. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate all of my Patreon patrons. This is a wonderful little environment, and I'm really impressed and surprised that this has gone as far as it has. And that's because I have people who listen and who tell me what they want me to talk about. I haven't forgotten about the Lenormand episode. I am doing all of my monthly readings this month on Patreon with Lenormand. So I think after I work through my currently 20 readings that I am doing, I will have an episode out in December about that. Probably the 15th in December. All right. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a witchy and or wonderful rest of the month. If you celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope you have a great one. And I will check in with you on the 1st of December. Take care.